Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2002. Our biggest mistake.
Hello. Last week, we talked about a number of especially egregious Jewish swindlers of the past decade. In every case, they stole from Gentiles with the help of other Gentiles. I pointed out that the cases I discussed were illustrations of the general rule that the really big swindlers are nearly always Jews, and that they nearly always depend for their success upon the corruption of America's Gentile political and business elites. Corrupt Gentile businessmen help them steal, and corrupt Gentile politicians help them get away with it. There's a brand new case of a hugely successful Jewish swindler that I didn't have time to talk about last week. That's the case of Gary Winnick and the bankruptcy of his fiber optics telecommunications company, Global Crossing. Winnick started Global Crossing just 5 years ago with a $35 million loan from some Jewish friends in the Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce. The next year, in 1998, after issuing 100 million shares of stock in his new company to himself, he sold $735 million in shares to the public. In June 1999, shares in Global Crossing were selling at 62¾, $62.75 a share. That gave Winnick a personal fortune of some $6 billion in just 2 years. That's amazing, isn't it? He went from nothing to the richest man in Los Angeles in just 2 years. He did it by spinning a tale about linking the whole world with a 100,000-mile network of fiber optic cable and selling that myth to the media and to the public. But of course, linking the world with fiber optic cable was not what was really on Winnick's mind. Raking in as much money as possible, as quickly as possible, with a lot of fast patter and sleight of hand, was what was on his mind. He had learned his trade not as a fiber optic network builder, but as a fast talker working with his buddy Michael Milken selling junk bonds. Really, Winnick had worked in the same office with Milken in New York selling junk bonds. Even after Milken had been convicted and sent to prison, Winnick was able to scam the public and sell shares in his new company, Global Crossing. Of course, he didn't advertise his former association with Milken, and the media collaborated by not mentioning it either, even as Global Crossing became a high-profile celebrity company in 1999. Winnick began unloading his shares when the price peaked in 1999 above $60. And of course, as always with these Jewish scams built on fast talk instead of on creative work, the bubble eventually burst. Last month, Winnick's company filed for bankruptcy, declaring more than $12 billion in debt that it cannot pay. That's like stealing $12 billion from the public, from all the people to whom Global Crossing owes money, and then asking the government for protection. That's the fifth largest bankruptcy ever declared in America. Shares in Global Crossing are now selling on the stock exchange for about a nickel each. Global Crossing's employees, who had their shares in 401k retirement plans, were prohibited from selling their shares for 5 years and have lost everything. While Winnick was unloading his stock in the company at $60 a share, his 17,000, mostly Gentile employees, were locked in and had to go down with the ship. Does that sound familiar? Another characteristic Winnick has in common with Michael Milken and Andy Fastow is that he is a big contributor to Jewish charities, and especially to Israel. 2 years ago, when Global Crossing still was flying high, Winnick gave $40 million to the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles so that it can open a branch in Jerusalem. A recent issue of the Jewish Journal of Los Angeles reports that despite the bankruptcy of Global Crossing, Winnick continues to give generously to Jewish institutions. From his sumptuous $90 million estate in Beverly Hills, a steady stream of multi-million dollar gifts continues to flow to Hillel houses at various universities, to the Jewish Museum in New York, to the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, to the American Jewish Committee, to the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, and to a number of other Jewish groups and causes. But not to those 17,000 mostly Gentile former employees of Global Crossing who went down with the ship. As I said, it's amazing. It just shows what can be done with a little greed, a complete lack of scruples, and the help of the media and the politicians. And when one has a Gentile population that has been so thoroughly brainwashed by the media that it simply lets itself be fleeced repeatedly by these avaricious Jews without even a peep of protest, lest it be accused of anti-Semitism. Do you believe that there's a court in this land that will hold Winnick accountable for what he has done? If you do, then you're even more gullible than the folks he fleeced to get his $6 billion. No, Winnick will get clean away with it and will continue enjoying life on his $90 million estate and giving to his fellow Jews the money he took from us. Do we deserve any better? I think not. And I want to emphasize again, the super swindlers we have discussed here, Winnick and Fastow and Rich and Milken and Boesky and Frankel and Weiss and the rest, are not crooks who just incidentally happened to be Jews and might just as well have been Gentiles. No, their criminal activity is an essential expression of their Jewishness. They did what they did because they are Jews. That's why nearly all of the really big swindlers, the most outrageously brazen swindlers, the super swindlers, the ones who steal $6 billion in just 2 years, are Jews. This is something for the egalitarians to think about. It's something to be pondered by those who believe that all featherless bipeds are essentially the same, except for superficial cultural differences. And that, in particular, the only difference between Jews and Gentiles is that Jews have a somewhat different religious tradition from the rest of us. They believe that if a Jew is raised from early childhood in a Gentile family, he will grow up indistinguishable from a Gentile in his behavior and his thinking, and that a Gentile raised in a Jewish family will grow up to be indistinguishable from the Jews around him. Jews themselves don't believe that. That's contrary to what their religion teaches them and to what they themselves feel. I don't believe it either. Of course, egalitarians also believe that men and women are essentially the same, or that they would be the same, except for the fact that our old-fashioned male chauvinist society artificially forces men and women into different stereotypical roles. I think that fewer people believe that than believe that Jews and Gentiles are the same, except for the lemmings, of course, who will believe whatever they're told to believe, which is to say, more independent thinkers accept the fundamental and all-pervasive differences between men and women than accept the fact that there are very important inborn differences between Jews and Gentiles. Actually, I believe that even many lemmings, despite their dutiful affirmation of whatever TV tells them, deep down inside don't believe that men and women are the same. Back to the differences between Jews and Gentiles. I mentioned inborn differences, but we shouldn't ignore the cultural differences, especially as expressed in religious differences. The Jews' religion is an expression of their racial character. It grew out of their character over a very long period of time. The Jews look back on nearly 6,000 years of history to To them, this is the year 5762. And in fact, Jewish religious books actually are being printed now with this date in them. Of course, it's really their tribal history they trace back that far. It would be more accurate to say that their religion in its present form is about 3,000 years old. But the fact is that it is their tribal religion. They developed it themselves. It was never imposed on them from outside. And it is an intensely ethnocentric religion, a religion for Jews only. Compare that with the two other Semitic religions, Islam and Christianity, both of which are universalist. Muslims and Christians believe that their religion is for everyone. Anyone, regardless of race, who professes belief can be a Christian or a Muslim. Christians send out missionaries to convert the heathens, especially black, brown, and yellow heathens. When Jews send out missionaries, it is only to bring strayed Jews back into the fold, never to convert those who are not already members of the chosen race. The Jewish religion reinforces character traits which already are embedded in the Jewish genotype. Neither Islam nor Christianity can do that to the same degree because they didn't develop indigenously. They were imposed by fire and sword on non-Semitic peoples. My point is that Judaism strengthens and reinforces the traits that led Michael Milken, Andy Fastow, and Gary Winnick to be so enormously successful at getting other people's money into their pockets. But the traits were already there. They were born with them. And I can think of no Gentile who has been as successful at that sort of thing. That is, at fast patter and sleight of hand, at selling myths for hard cash. And the reason is not just because of a religious difference. As I said, Jews and Gentiles are different, just as men and women are different, just as blacks and whites and Asians are different. In some cases, these differences are a good thing, and they work well together, as in the case of men and women, for example. As long as we have a properly structured society that takes account of these differences, a society that permits men and women to complement one another in a natural way rather than forcing them into unnatural competition, then the differences make us strong and healthy. When we pretend that the differences don't exist, however, as between Gentiles and Jews, or between whites and blacks, we leave ourselves open to very bad and unhealthy things. In the case of Jews, we leave ourselves open to exploitation of the sort we have just discussed. We pretend that there is no difference between them and us, and so we aren't expecting to be exploited. Our guard is down, and then we are exploited. In the case of blacks and whites, pretending that the only difference is in the color of our skin has led us into an enormous disaster. It is destroying America and our people and our civilization. It has made wastelands of large sections of our cities. It has devastated our schools and robbed many of our young people of an education of the quality they need to make the most of themselves. It has exposed our people to the sort of criminal violence that is natural for blacks, but not for us. It has cost us many, many more billions of dollars in welfare programs and law enforcement than even Michael Milken and his fellow tribesmen have swindled from us. Yesterday I was watching a television program that was mostly about my record company, Resistance Records, and the music we produce and distribute, and the young people who compose and play the music and listen to it. The program came from VH1, which is a music channel owned by the same fellow who owns MTV. He uses the name Sumner Redstone, but was born Murray Rothstein. Redstone Rothstein is another of these billionaire Jews we've been talking about, and his program on VH1 gave the public the Jewish spin on me and Resistance Records and Resistance Music generally. He calls our music hate rock because some of it expresses the anger and frustration of young white Americans who are forced to live with the real-world consequences of pretending that there is no difference between blacks and whites. The anger of young white Americans who have experienced the reality of racially mixed neighborhoods and racially mixed schools. The program pretends that I and these young Americans are hateful by nature, that there's really no reason for us to be angry, that everything would be rosy if we would just pretend, along with everyone else, that blacks and whites are the same, that there's no difference. Then we could all be happy and live together peacefully, and everything would be wonderful. It is just our perverse nature that makes us hateful and keeps us from pretending that we believe in racial equality and racial togetherness. That's the myth that Sumner Redstone has spun and is selling to the public through the mass media he owns, through his CBS television network and his MTV and VH1 channels, much like Michael Milken sold to the directors of America's savings and loan institutions the myth that they could become rich by investing in his junk bonds. As I mentioned last week, Michael Milken's myth cost us $500 billion when the savings and loan industry went bankrupt 15 years ago. Sumner Redstone's myth of equality already has cost us vastly more than that, and eventually it will cost us our very existence if we continue to be deceived by it. And, of course, it's not just Redstone's myth. It's a myth spun by and propagated by Redstone's whole tribe. The myth of diversity, equality, unity, and all the other labels in which it's packaged is being peddled to the American public through every medium the Jews control, through television and radio, through newspapers, through magazine advertising, through Hollywood films, and all the rest. Multiculturalism is a wonderful thing, they all proclaim. Diversity is our strength. Keep our borders open because the browns and yellows that are pouring into America really are the same as whites, and we are a nation of immigrants. And of course, anyone who doesn't swallow the myth is a hater. Any white person who stands up and says, hey, multiculturalism is a bad idea, it's a nightmare, it's wrecking America, is attacked the way I and the other people involved in Resistance Records were attacked on Redstone's VH1 program. Pushing the idea that we ought to keep our borders open is a large-scale effort involving a very substantial portion of the Jewish community in America. Ramming multiculturalism down our throats is a joint effort involving virtually all of the mass media, and that means virtually all of the Jews in positions of control or ownership in the media, from Hollywood to Madison Avenue. Spinning and selling the poisonous myth of equality is an effort supported by nearly every Jew, not just by a few evil master mythmakers. To be sure, just as in the financial swindling of America, this ideological swindling of America has had plenty of Gentile collaborators and co-conspirators. And I'm not referring only to the lemmings who parrot back whatever nonsense about equality and the wonders of diversity they have absorbed from television. I'm talking about the Gentile politicians and businessmen and teachers and preachers and publicists who know better, but who for one reason or another went along and still are going along with the Jewish campaign to multiculturalize America. Despite these collaborators and co-conspirators, however, it is clear that it has been Jewish Hollywood and Jewish Madison Avenue that have pushed the poison from the beginning, and without which the campaign never would have been able to do the damage that it has done. In the VH1 program about Resistance Records I saw yesterday, Mr. Redstone was taking a poll of viewers. Should white resistance music be outlawed, he asked. Should the government prohibit the production and sale and performance of hate rock music? Do you think that's a joke? I'll tell you, it certainly isn't. That's the standard way that Redstone and his fellow tribesmen deal with opposition or exposure. Once they have corrupted a country, they get their bought politicians to enact legislation making it illegal to criticize or contradict them. They've already done that in Canada and in most countries in Europe. They've made what they call hate speech, and that includes hate music, illegal. Black gangster rap with its lyrics about killing whites is all right. In fact, some of Redstone's Jewish friends in the music business produce and distribute gangster rap. But in Canada or in Germany, you can go to jail for playing white resistance music or for contradicting any of their Holocaust stories about the nasty Germans converting innocent, blameless Jews into lampshades or soap. They're pushing hard for the same sort of legislation here. They really would like to make it illegal for me to produce and distribute white resistance music and for you to listen to it. Speaking of the Holocaust, as you know, that's another of my pet subjects. Although Redstone and his pals like to label me a Holocaust denier, I'm really not. I don't deny that there was a campaign by the Germans before and during the Second World War to get the Jews out of their country and off their backs, and that during the war, many Jews perished in the concentration camps and labor camps into which they were herded. What I deny is many of the details, such as Jewish lampshades and soap. The Jews, as they do with everything where they see the possibility for a good swindle, spun a myth about what had happened to them, and they sold that myth to the Gentiles. They took the basic fact that the Germans wanted the Jews out of their society and to that end put many Jews in concentration camps, and they embellished that fact with a great many lies about lampshades and soap and gas chambers and medical experiments, and that myth became the Holocaust. They used their grip on our news and entertainment media, which was very strong even before the Second World War, to sell to the American people their myth about the terrible mistreatment of innocent and inoffensive Jews by beastly Germans. And as is nearly always the case, they had plenty of corrupt Gentile politicians willing to collaborate with them. The result was that they got us to go to war to save them from Hitler. We made an alliance with the communists, with the Soviet Union, for that purpose, and we killed millions of our own people, millions of our fellow Europeans, but we saved the Jews. And look at what the Jews have done to us since the war to express their gratitude for being saved from Hitler. They have deliberately and with malice aforethought multiculturalized us. They have opened our borders to the Third World. They have given us feminism and affirmative action and gangster rap. They have promoted homosexuality as a normal lifestyle. With their advertising and their television, they have persuaded millions of young white women that it's okay to have a black boyfriend, that it's fashionable. And Sumner Redstone, with his VH1 and his CBS network and his MTV, has been at the forefront of that particular campaign of genocide against us. And they have descended on us like a swarm of locusts with every sort of scam and swindle imaginable, fleecing us of hundreds of billions of dollars, a la Milken and Weiss and Fastow and Winnick. The damage the Jews have done to America since 1945 far, far outweighs the damage done to the Jews by the Germans between 1933 and 1945. And the eventual death toll among our own people, before we have cleaned up the mess the Jews have made of America, will far exceed their losses during the so-called Holocaust. We Americans have made some big mistakes, but really, going to war against our kinsmen in Europe in order to save the Jews from Hitler was our biggest mistake. Thanks for being with me again today.